Hey, good morning, church. Good to see you all here this morning and good to be with you. I hope that you had a great Easter this past week, whether you were able to be here with us or whether you were somewhere else. I hope that you were once again impacted and rejuvenated. Thank you very much as we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus together. There has been a question that's kind of raised up in my mind and in my life this week as I've continued to reflect on the resurrection of Jesus. And I just want to share that question with you guys this morning. And that's simply, so what? So what? Is Easter just a nice family holiday where we get dressed up, and we come to church, and maybe have a nice meal? Now, I love getting dressed up and coming to church, and I love a good meal. But is the resurrection of Jesus anything more to us than that? Or is the resurrection of Jesus just something that we maybe affirm with our heads? And we may say, yes, I believe that happened. I believe that's true. But we haven't let the magnitude of it sink into our hearts as we live in relationship with Jesus and transform our lives and our actions. Or is it kind of this spiritual high, maybe, that we get once a year that might fade about as quickly as it comes? I'll be honest with you guys. If the resurrection of Jesus is simply any of these things, if it's nothing more than that, then what are we doing here? I know that's kind of an abrupt way to begin things here the week right after Easter, but I just want to be upfront with you guys this morning that today is going to be all about that so what question. We're not going to just kind of ease into things here the week after Easter. We're going to get right down to business, and we're going to jump into the deep end here together this morning. We affirm that Christ is risen. We gather together on Easter to celebrate that. We say amen to Jesus' resurrection being the most important event in the history of the world. So now what? What are we going to do about that? How are we going to respond to that truth as a church family? That's what I want to talk about this morning. And that's what this FCC Go initiative is all about, that you may have seen some things about out in the lobby this morning as you came in, which I'm really excited to tell you about and which we'll get into a little bit later this morning. But I want to dig into the so what question, first of all, by going to Scripture and specifically by going to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. And we'll be starting out in verse 16 there this morning. So I invite you to go there with me if you want. We'll also have the verses up on the screen for you. 2 Corinthians 5, 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, Paul says. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture and one of the most important passages in the New Testament because I think it summarizes the gospel and the kind of people that we are called to be because of the gospel. And we're going to walk through these verses this morning kind of through the lens of so what? If we affirm that Christ is risen, then what are we going to do about it? And here in these verses that we read, Paul starts with a change in perspective, a change in the way that we see the world and live in the world because of Christ. So from now on, he says, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Have you ever had an experience that cause you to change the way that you see the world and live in the world? Maybe those of you who have kids could nod your head to that one. Didn't you have a sense when that new life came into the world that your life would never be the same after that? That life was no longer just about you or even you and your spouse, but you now have these lives that you are responsible for. And that affects your life in pretty much every aspect, all the way up to your daily routines, doesn't it? Or maybe if you've been able to visit another country that has a culture that's very different than ours, and you talk to people there, you come back changed. You see firsthand that people live with different philosophies and have different cultural values and different languages, different foods, maybe that you think, there's no way that I could ever eat that, but they eat that every single day. That affects the way you see the world, doesn't it? And then Paul says here, because of Christ, because of who Jesus is and the encounter that we've had with him, we now see the world through a completely different lens. We now live in the world with a totally different perspective of what life is all about. It's no longer from a purely worldly point of view. Once we regarded Christ in this way, Paul says, once Paul was a persecutor of Christ's church, and his whole framework for how to be in the world was about bringing down this offspin of Judaism called the Way that worshiped Jesus as the Son of God. That was his perspective. That was the way that he saw Jesus as a dangerous false teacher. But then he met Jesus. Then Jesus interrupted Paul's life, and he took away the old lens, and he gave him a new one, so that now, as Paul says a few verses earlier in the passage that we read in verse 14, now Christ's love compels us. New perspective. New way of being in the world. Paul goes on to talk more about this new perspective. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. Church, if Easter is real, and if we are a group of people who, as Paul says here in 2 Corinthians, are in Christ, then new creation has come to our lives. And not just to our lives individually, but to the whole world. The newness of God's kingdom is breaking in to the oldness of the world and showing the world glimpses of what God's kingdom will look like in its fullness. And that newness in the world starts in the ones who have been made new creations by God. That's us. That's the hope that we have because of Easter. That because Christ is raised and God's new creation is breaking into the world, we are made new creations too. The old has gone. The new is here, Paul says. Isn't that a remarkable way of viewing the world? It's not that God's redemption and God making all things new is just something that will happen someday in the future. No, it's already happening. To go back to our earlier analogy, it's not that you're anticipating what life is going to be like once the baby comes. It's not that you're getting the nursery ready and taking prenatal classes and thinking and worrying and dreaming about what it's going to be like once the baby comes. No. The baby is here. The new life has begun. It has arrived. Paul continues, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Couldn't the gospel be summarized in this one verse? God has reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I'd go out on a limb even further, and I would say that if I were going to boil the gospel down to one word other than Jesus, I would pick the word reconciliation. Healing a broken relationship. bringing together what was torn apart. Here's how God's doing it. God's creation, the ones he created in his image to live in relationship with him, rebelled against him and infected the relationship that we have with God through sin. But since sin has entered God's good creation and damaged this relationship, God has been moving us toward reconciling this broken relationship. The pinnacle of this plan of reconciliation is Jesus. That's why Paul says here that God reconciles us to himself through Christ, and God continues to reconcile the world to himself through us as Christ's body in the world, until the day when God's new creation will break in its fullness in the new heavens and the new earth, which Isaiah talks about and Peter talks about in his epistles and John talks about in Revelation when he says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." Now that's kind of a 30,000-foot perspective of the new creation that we are in Christ. That's the big picture story of what God is doing in the world and the story that he's inviting us to participate in. But I fear that many of our perspectives are instead just so zoomed in on our own lives that life in Christ to us is simply that Jesus has forgiven me of my sins and he's given me a free ticket to heaven. And now I can just kind of sit back and live how I want to in the meantime. As Paul says in the next verse, yes, forgiveness of sins is a huge part of this new perspective of life in Christ, but it's not all that there is. He continues to explain the new perspective in verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. There's God's forgiveness of sins. And then he expands. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Notice the ands here. Verse 18, God reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. In the same way that God has been on a mission to reconcile his sin-broken relationship with us, he calls us in turn to participate in this mission of reconciliation with him. Life in Christ, or life after Easter, we could say, is not just a life of casually sitting back and waiting on Jesus to come back so he can punch our tickets to heaven. It is a life that is engaged in God's mission, showing the world what it looks like when God's new creation breaks in. So if this is the mission, showing the world God's new creation breaking in, then what do the missionaries look like? Let's go to verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. As those who have experienced the joy of forgiveness of sins and new life in Christ, our perspective is that of ambassadors of Christ. We are Christ's representatives in and to the world. His ways become our ways. His message, his words become our words. His mission becomes our mission. And that permeates all of life. When an ambassador to a king goes to another country to talk to a representative of that country, it's as if the king himself is there in that country, in that room, talking to those people. The message, the words, the actions of the ambassador all reflect that of the king. So as ambassadors of the kingdom of God, our lives in the world, our way of being in the world, should reflect the character and the ways and the mission of our King, King Jesus. All right, now, let's go back to our so what question that we asked at the beginning. We've celebrated Easter, we've remembered and we've affirmed and we've celebrated that Christ is risen. So what? What are we going to do about it now? Paul tells us that the old has gone, the new is here. So will we go back to the old world and zoom our perspective so far in on my life and my life only that we miss out on the bigger story of what God is doing in the world and live in this new world? Will we affirm the resurrection with our heads only? Or will we practice resurrection, as some have described it, and live in relationship with Jesus so that his love compels us to the way of dying to ourselves so that Christ can live in and through us? Will we be content with the forgiveness of my sins and my ticket to heaven, so to speak? Or will we let the joy that comes from relationship with Jesus and the forgiveness of sins compel us to live as Christ's ambassadors in the world and show the world the healing that comes through relationship with him? We are made new by Christ because of Easter. Our broken relationship with God is healed by Christ, and God in turn sends us into the world as his ambassadors to show the world what God is doing here. There are so many ways that we can live out this mission in our lives. Maybe for you, the number one way that you can live out this mission right now is through raising a godly family, raising godly kids, and being Christ's ambassador to them. Letting them see the words of Jesus come out of your mouth every single day. Letting them see Christ's actions in your actions on a daily basis. Don't think for one minute that living out God's mission this way is any less important than any other way. In fact, I don't know of a more important way that we can live out this mission of being Christ's ambassadors than raising a godly family. Or maybe God is calling you to be his ambassador in your neighborhood. I think one of the greatest tools that we have to show people the love of God is our homes. And practicing hospitality can be an amazing way to show people a glimpse of God's new creation breaking into this world where, as Isaiah says, there will be feasting. Now, we don't have to have some amazing home or throw a fancy dinner party to do this. This can just be as simple as calling your friend or your neighbor and saying, hey, we're grilling out tonight. Come on over. I think most of us are just kind of so used to doing our own thing that when we open up our homes, that can be a way to kind of break out of the routine and show people the love of God and that we're living as his ambassadors in the world. And maybe God is calling you to be his ambassador this morning by becoming more engaged in some of the work that's happening in our community and even in other parts of the world. For the rest of our time together here this morning, I want to share with you some of the ways that God's new creation is breaking into our community and our world and give us as a church family an opportunity to respond to some of those ways and become more engaged. You probably noticed as you came in this morning that the lobby looks a little different. We have some tables, some signs set up as a part of this FCC Go initiative. We've invited representatives of some of the organizations that we as a church support to come and join us this morning and to be available to talk to you about ways that you or you and your family could get involved in some of the work that they're doing. And we also have some folks who are representing some teams that are going on some international mission trips this summer, as well as some who've just come back from one, in fact. You may or may not know this, but 20% of the tithes that you give to Franklin Christian Church goes toward missions. Half of that 20% goes toward global and overseas missions, and the other half of that 20% goes toward domestic and local missions. And as a church family, giving this financial support is an important part of how we want to work out our calling as being Christ's ambassadors to the world, but it is only part. We also believe that coming alongside of these ministries from a hands-on, boots-on-the-ground standpoint is an important outworking of how we are to live as Christ's ambassadors, a great way to serve together and grow together as a church family and show that Christ's resurrection is not just something that we affirm with our heads, but it's a message that we take to the world as a people who have been transformed by God. So I want to tell you just a little bit about each of these ministries that's here with us this morning. If you want to, you can refer to the insert that's in your bulletin. It looks like this, that kind of lays out who these ministries are. So what I'm going to do here is just kind of give you a little bit of an overview about what these ministries do, and maybe a couple ways you can get involved. And then as you leave this morning and go out into the lobby, you can talk to some of these folks a little more specifically about ways that you can get plugged in. All right, let's start with some of the international mission trips that we'll be sending some folks on this summer. If going on a mission trip is something that God has put on your heart, well, here are a couple ways that you can respond to that as soon as this summer. First of all, we'll be sending a team in June to the Dominican Republic, where they'll be doing a house build for an elderly woman there in conjunction with the Marte mission. So if you can swing a hammer, if you can wheel a wheelbarrow or anything like that, then there is a place for you on this trip. Then in July, we'll be sending a team to Brazil who will go to the Amazon River and they'll get on a boat, a really nice big boat, I might add, and travel about 400 miles along the river to provide medical supplies for remote groups of people who live in the Amazon. It's just an awesome trip, and thank you, by the way, to those of you who helped out already with this trip by providing some of the medical supplies that they'll be taking with them. Either of these trips could be one of those perspective-changing experiences that we talked about earlier, and great ways to take a step of faith and be ambassadors for Christ in other parts of the world with these ministries that we have a relationship with as a church. All right, now here locally, there are five organizations that we support who were able to join us this morning, and I'm so excited that they are here with us. First of all, Against the Grain. Against the Grain is an organization that educates and empowers men and women who have a history of abuse, addiction, or negative cycles to achieve their unique God-given potential. Rob and Meredith Kendall have been involved and engaged in this work for many years now. And if you have a heart to serve people who are caught in these kind of negative cycles, which could be anything from jail ministry to mentoring people in the awesome 180 program that Rob and Meredith have developed, to anything else that you're passionate about, make sure and talk to them before you leave this morning. All right, next we have Image Builders, who's here with us. Image Builders is a program that exists to engage students through academic mentoring, to think critically, communicate effectively, and be creative, lifelong learners. Carmen Powell leads this awesome ministry, and if you have a heart for young people, and if you have 1 hour a week that you could sacrifice, maybe along a lunch break or something like that, where you could go to a local school and come alongside a student to provide some mentoring to them that could really impact their life, then make sure and talk to Carmen this morning. The next door, and actually we have some video footage here of some stuff that happens at the next door, as well as the next couple of organizations, maybe to just kind of give you an idea of what it would look like to walk in and volunteer with them. But the next door provides a continuum of evidence-based services for women and their families impacted by addiction, mental illness, trauma, and or incarceration, with Christ-centered, compassionate care. So if you have a heart for ministering to women who are caught in any kind of these cycles, then make sure and talk to Linda Leathers, who's the Nextdoor CEO here with us this morning, before you leave. You can serve here in any ways, from serving meals to helping organize their clothing boutique that they have there to, let's see, what was the other one? Oh, yeah, offering morning devotionals for their chapel services that they have Monday through Friday. All right, Youth Encouragement Services is here with us this morning. Youth Encouragement Services enriches the lives of children in inner city Nashville by encouraging them to reach their full potential. YES has impacted so many at-risk youth in Nashville over the years, and if you or you and your family or even you and your life group would be available on Mondays this summer starting in June, you could be a huge help to YES by helping to provide lunch for their summer program on Mondays starting in June. This would be a great way to support them and the kids that they serve. So make sure and talk to Nate before you leave this morning about that. All right, and finally, Tucker's House. Tucker's House partners with the families of children with disabilities by providing home renovation and retrofitting services and resources necessary to make their homes safe and more accessible. You can see some footage here on the screen of the Gregg family that Tucker's House is currently sponsoring, and they live down in Columbia. Just a sweet, sweet family whose daughter Alexis's life will be impacted forever because of the work that's being done to their home. And Tucker's House relies on the work of volunteers to get this work done, both skilled and unskilled workers. And talk about God's timing. But as soon as next month, there is a family that is actually a part of our church family here at Franklin Christian that Tucker's House is going to be sponsoring a home remodel for. So I'd actually like to invite them to come on up. Mike and Missy, if you guys would just make your way on up here. Tucker's House is going to be sponsoring a project to renovate Mike and Missy's home for their daughter, Juna, who we can see on the screen up here along with their son, Luke. So would you guys just mind maybe sharing us a little bit about your story through adoption and bringing Juna into your home and maybe some of her challenges that have led to this project with Tucker's House?
Yeah, sure. Back in 2012, Juna's information was given to us through the adoption process, and two things were revealed to us during that time. A, she had physical delays, and B, we had a limited window into adopting her. So, big picture, Missy and I didn't know anything about parenting or caring for a special needs child, but we felt strongly that we needed to pray over this child and also to do as much research as we could. Now, at the end of the day, as we're doing our research, there was still just a big cloud of uncertainty, but we felt strongly that God had chosen this child for us, and also, too, He was going to take care of that cloud of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. So in October of 2013, we brought Juna home. We were living here in Franklin at the time. And within 6 months, we had several circumstances that made us realize we needed to make some drastic life changes. And so one of those changes we made was Missy resigned from her director's position at the hospital. We then put our home here in Franklin on the market so we could downsize. Now, as we moved down to Thompson Station, you know, doing those two things allowed us the time and financial flexibility that we needed to actually be the family that God, or what we felt like God had called us to be. So as we were settling into our home in Thompson Station, we realized that the bathroom in Juna's bedroom situation wasn't ideal for her particular delays. So we can't get a walking device in and out safely. So Missy and I serve as that device for her. We get her on and off the toilet. We get her in and out of the bathtub on a daily basis. So we started to think, as we want to promote Juna to be independent as she grows, what do we do? Because the situation now is not ideal. And so I know we watch a lot of HGTV, but we are not contractors. So we thought there has to be an organization out there that can help us during this time. And so the brains and beauty behind the operation started doing her research.
really make her more successful at taking care of herself. And so I came across Tucker's House, and at the time, I didn't know that it was one of the local ministries that we supported. It was only by chance. Sonny, the director, I think, had spoken to Wanda, and then we put the pieces together that it was actually one of our local ministries, which made it even more appealing to us that it was something that our church supported. But something about Tucker's House, or a couple of things that really struck me, is one, they bring in a physical therapist that comes to your home and looks to see what the best and safest options for your child would be, because they want whatever modifications you make to grow with that child. Of course, our prayer is that, you know, one day Juna's not going to need this anymore, that she's going to be walking and doing all these things. But for now, we do need this extra help for her to be able to function independently. And so that's something great that they do. The physical therapist came into our home. She met Juna and really started looking at some ways that we could make it safer for her. And the other thing that I love about Tucker's House is, one, the director, Sonny, you know, she has a personal commitment to this cause because her grandson is also has some special needs. And she's gone through this herself personally, modifying a house for him. And so that perspective makes it very valuable as well. But she also realizes that the importance of having volunteers and keeping the cost down for the project, because although families can save up money to do this sort of thing, they know that there's all these extra costs that come along with raising a child with special needs that can sometimes impact that budget when you're trying to make those modifications to best care for the child. So as Adam mentioned, we are planning on starting next month, which couldn't be too soon. It's just going to be make such a big change in our lives, not only for Juna, but also, quite frankly, for our backs. We're not getting any younger, so it will be great to have these extra tools to help take care of her going forward. So we really appreciate everything this church has done to support us with Juna just through prayer. But also helping out with Tucker's House.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing some of your story. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you know, I don't think it's an accident that just, you know, within a matter of weeks after promoting these ministries, including Tucker's House, that work is going to start on Mike and Missy's house through Tucker's House. And so, like we said earlier, Tucker's House does rely on the work of volunteers to get the job done. Both skilled and unskilled workers can be a big, big help in getting the job done. So Sonny and Lori with Tucker's House are out in the lobby and would love to talk to you before you leave here today. And even if you're not sure this morning what you can commit to right now from a volunteer standpoint, it'd be great to just go and talk to these folks. They are doing some wonderful work in our community. These are ministries that we support, that you support, the work that they're doing. So go on out and just get to know them a little bit and listen to their story, share your story, and see a little bit more about what God is doing and how you can be a part of it. Christ is risen, y'all. And we have some great opportunities to respond to that truth this morning. And so I hope you will take advantage of that as you go on out into the lobby this morning and talk to some folks about how we can become more engaged. All right? Let's stand and sing together.